Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
I want us to turn to our scriptures for today. We're reading from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 all the way up to 8. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Through these, He has given us His precious and magnificent promises, so that through them you may become partakers of His divine nature, now that you have escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities and continue to grow in them, they will keep you from being ineffective and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Amen. Now, in the scriptures we have just read, we see that God has given us everything we need. Did you catch that? God has given you and I everything we need. And when God says He has given us everything we need, He means that He has given us for life and godliness. So there is nothing that you and I will need or will ever need that God has not already given to us. God has already made provision for everything that we need. He has already given it to us. He has made this possible by His divine power that is already at work within us. His divine power that is at work within the believer. Now, the work begins on the inside before it manifests on the outside. The result of this work of God in our lives is captured in verse 8, which says, "We will not be ineffective, nor will we be unproductive." Amen? I am sure each of us desires this kind of a life. A life that is full of effectiveness. A life that is full of productivity. This is the kind of life that we are desiring, where we are productive and effective in every area of our lives. How then can we come to such a place of productiveness? How can we come to such a place of effectiveness? Well, the answer is found in the verse 5, 6, and 7, where it says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your what? To your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge." And it goes on listing the things we are to add. And then verse 8 says that we will not be ineffective or unproductive. So starting with faith as the foundation, we are to add the following things. Number one, virtue or goodness. And to that then we add knowledge. And then self-control. And then perseverance or endurance. And then godliness, brotherly kindness, and finally love. But we must begin with faith. We are adding all these things to faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 shows the importance of faith because it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the beginning point in our relationship with God. Without it, we are not able to please Him. It doesn't matter anything else that we do. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because the one who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So for us to come to that place where we are productive and effective, it is paramount that our faith is strong, that our faith is secure, that our faith is firm, that our faith is fixed. This is the year of being fixed. So in this year of being fixed, I want to share on fixing our faith. Fixing our faith. Now, as I preach, I'm going to be using that word fixed in two ways. Fixed in terms of steady, fixed, and fixing in terms of repairing. Okay, so we're going to be dealing with both aspects of that word fixing. So fixing in terms of securing and fixing in terms of repairing. The assumption that we have is that we have faith and that our faith is strong enough to support all that is being added to it. As we saw earlier, the goodness, the knowledge, self-control, perseverance, etc. So how can we make sure that our faith is where it needs to be? How can we make sure that our faith is where it needs to be? Because if we are adding all these things to it, it needs to be secure, it needs to be firm. And we have just seen that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. The Apostle Paul addresses this very issue when he wrote in the second letter to the believers in Corinth in chapter 13 and verse 5, and he says, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine." I want you to read that with me. Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourself. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. So there is a test that we can put ourselves into to see if our faith is genuine. There's a way we can examine ourselves to see if our faith is where it ought to be. So how do we do this? How do we examine our faith to make sure that we have faith? First of all, that we begin there, that we have faith, and that our faith is genuine. Our faith must not fail the test. How many of you have ever thought you had something genuine and then it failed the test? There's a time I was looking for a pair of shoes. So I went to a place where shoes are bought. I will not name the place lest you decide to go there. And I bought what looked to me like a very good pair of shoes. But believe it or not, within a one day, and I'm not joking, my wife bears evidence, within one day, the sole was gone. Not that it came off, it disintegrated. Yes, the sole disintegrated as it came apart. That was not a genuine shoe. We need to make sure that what we have that we call faith is genuine. That it will stand the test of time. That as we walk, just like with my shoes, they did not stand the test of time. As I walked, they disintegrated. The Bible says we walk by, not by. So we need to make sure that our faith will not disintegrate as we walk. So how do we examine our faith? Remember we said that without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. And He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Number one, we must have a deep desire to please God. A deep desire to please God. So the question is, remember we are examining our faith. And when we do an exam, we are asked questions. Isn't it? We are testing. So the questions we need to ask ourselves is, who sits on the throne of my life? Who sits on the throne of your life? Who do you and I seek to please? Who do you and I desire to please? Is it self, others, or the Lord? You can answer for yourself as I answer for myself. Genuine faith will cause a deep desire within us to please the Lord. A genuine desire by genuine faith to please the Lord deep down within us. It will cause us to live our lives in a way that we are careful not to offend the Lord with the way we live. Let's look at some areas to examine and see if we are pleasing the Lord. The words we speak, are the words that we are speaking pleasing to the Lord? James chapter 3 and verse 10 talks about this, saying that out of the same mouth cannot come blessing and cursing. This ought not to be. So in the words we speak, whether it is verbally, whether it's online or in text or wherever, the words that are coming out of us, are they pleasing to the Lord? We are examining ourselves this morning. The words we speak, the second area of examination that we are doing in seeing whether we are pleasing the Lord is the company we keep. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. This is because the company we keep will influence the places we go and the things that we are involved in. And some of those things may not be pleasing to the Lord. Let us examine ourselves. The next thing is the things we watch. Job chapter 31 and verse 1, Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. For those who are wondering whether the Bible talks about pornography, there it is. Do we have a desire to please the Lord? This is the test of genuine faith. Our testimony. These are areas that we are seeing whether we are pleasing to the Lord. Is our testimony upheld amongst those we live with, those we work with, and those we are in school with? What is our testimony before others? When we call ourselves believers, when we say that we are people of God and do not live up to the standard of His word, we cause His name to be blasphemed amongst the Gentiles. This is Paul wrote to the Romans, and in Romans chapter 2 and verse 24, he says, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles because of you. Let that not be any of us in this room today, that we are pleasing to the Lord. How is our attitude towards life? Remember, we are examining in ourselves. Are we walking in ways that are pleasing to God? Our attitude towards life. James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3 teaches us to count it all joy when we face all kinds of trials, because we know that what is being tested? Our faith. What is our attitude when we are facing trials and things that are difficult? Our faith is being tried. It is being weighed. Is it going to be found genuine? What is our attitude towards life? Remember, we are examining our faith to see how genuine it is. Where it is genuine, may it stay fixed. And where it is not genuine, may it be fixed. Where it is genuine, may it stay fixed. And where it is not genuine, may it be fixed. Amen. Now, in his concern for the church in Colossae, Paul wrote the following in chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you in the book of Colossians, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may do what? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in your knowledge of God. So the first place we are to examine our faith is to see if there is a genuine desire to please God. Only you and I can answer that for ourselves. Do I have a genuine desire to please the Lord? Who is Lord over my life? The second way we examine our faith is to see if it is genuine is found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The second thing we must have is a deep desire for God's word. A deep desire for God's word. Do you seek for and long for God's word? When was the last time you opened the scriptures and read His word? When was the last time I did? You did. Do we search the scriptures seeking to grow in our knowledge and understanding of this God of whom we serve. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 131 says, I opened my mouth and panted with eager desire, for I longed for your commandments. Do we long for the commandments of the Lord? Do we long for his word? Remember, we are examining our faith to see if it is genuine. How is your Bible reading? The things I'm talking about today are very basic, very simple, but very true and very profound. When was the last time you opened your scriptures and read? Have you ever read from Genesis to Revelation? Or is that just for the pastors and the women of God and the men of God? The first time I read through the Bible was like within the first year of my salvation, which was 37 years ago. And what motivated me is I got tired of going to and listening to preachers, and they were saying things I didn't know anything about. They would mention stories in the Bible, and I'm thinking, is that in the Bible? I said, I'm going to find out for myself, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to know. There's no preacher who will stand and tell a story that I don't know about. What is your desire to know the God whom you serve? Do you and I allow the Word of God to be the guiding light and the basis of our decision making? Some time ago, and let me tell you, God will speak to you about your everyday life. Some time ago, there was an opportunity, or what looked like an opportunity for investment. And my wife and I were discussing back and forth, should we not? So one morning, as we are in this back and forth, I go to the Lord in prayer. And as I turn my scriptures to read my scriptures for that day, as I was just reading my scriptures for the day, I happened to be in Proverbs, and I read Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 11, which warns about get-rich-quick schemes. I'm telling you, this is a real story. And the money we would have invested was a substantial amount of money. But once I read that, I told my wife, God has spoken. We are not going to put our money there. And 2 weeks later, that whole thing collapsed. Read the Bible. God will speak to you about your everyday life. When making decisions, both critical ones and everyday ones, do we seek God's wisdom from his word, or do we rely on our own limited wisdom? What forms the basis of our decision making? How do we handle life when it comes to us? We need to respond by inquiring of the Lord rather than reacting in our own wisdom. We are examining ourselves to see if our faith is genuine. If there is genuine faith, then consequently there must be fake faith. If there is genuine faith, then there must be a faith that is fake, that is not genuine. Prove it to me, all right. James chapter 2 and verse 17. So also, faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself it is destitute of power, inoperative, and dead. The Amplified Plain says inoperative and ineffective. Remember, we are doing what? We want to be productive and effective. So if your faith is this kind of faith, it will not be productive and it will not be effective. So faith that is not accompanied by a lifestyle of obedience and submission to God is not a genuine faith. You've just read it. I'm not inventing my own things here. We've just seen it. So it's important that we examine ourselves to see if our faith is genuine so that it can be productive and effective. So number one, a deep desire to please God. Number two, a deep desire for God's word. Number three, a deep desire for prayer. I said we're talking about things that are very basic today, but very helpful. Prayer is, simply put, is talking to God. He talks to us through his word, and we talk to him through prayer. Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, making progress, rising like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit." So prayer, that deep desire for prayer, will determine whether our faith is genuine or not. To please God and walk in his ways, we must be talking to him. We cannot hope to build any kind of meaningful relationship if we are not communicating. Isn't it? Even in life. Silent treatment does not work. Silent treatment does not. Ask me. I've learned. All the wives should have said amen there. We cannot build a strong relationship with the Lord while at the same time we are giving him silent treatment. We are not talking to him. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." It is recorded in the scriptures that Jesus taught and said in Luke chapter 18 that men ought always to pray and not to faint or give up. Prayer, communion with the Lord, is a must. It is as we spend time with the Lord consistently that we grow in our knowledge and understanding of him, who he is, how he functions, what he likes and does not like, and therefore we're able to adjust our lives so that we can please him. As we grow in this way, we will grow in our confidence and assurance of our place in God, fixed in our faith, and our faith fixed where it is lacking. And we will come to the place described in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, which says, "Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of things we cannot see." Now let me give you a short story that illustrates this. Now when I got saved when I was in university during my attachment. So we had been sent for attachment. My course that I was doing needed us to be sent away to do attachment. Now the place, and from our class, our engineering class, we were sent two of us, two by two. Now the person I was sent with, he was called Kibenei. He was a genuine brother in the Lord. At that point, I was not saved. I got saved when we were away in attachment. Now, the place we had been sent was very, very remote. It was deep in the Kerio Valley, a place called Baroeza. Now, we were there and we were doing survey work. This place was so remote that there was really no transport. We had to be dropped there by a GK Land Rover. And the villagers who were there told us that there's only one car that comes here. It comes on Friday and leaves on Monday. Now, our attachment ended on a Wednesday. Or rather, it ended on a Tuesday. So by this time now, I had gotten saved. My classmate, and I want to call him my classmate so you can understand, we are peers, eh? But him, he saved. He tells me, "Pack your bags. We are going tomorrow." And I'm wondering, how are we going? There's no car. We can't walk. It's too far. I mean, this place is remote. Then he tells me, God has shown him There is a car coming tomorrow and it's going to take us where we are going. I'm a new believer, just about 2 weeks old. So what do I know? I said, okay. I packed my bags and we went and sat on the road. The villagers were looking at us and telling us, we told you guys there's no car here. Where are you going? And I'm telling you, at 12 o'clock noon, in the distance, we saw a white pickup coming our way. He turned to me and told me, I told you God told me a car is coming. So when the car came to where we were, he stopped it. He asked the driver, can you give us a ride to where we are going? The driver said, okay, no problem. In fact, that's where I'm going. Enter. We entered the car and we went where we were going. Remember, I'm how many weeks old in salvation? From that point in my life, I knew God can speak to me about anything, everything, and anything that God says will come to pass. That was my introduction to salvation and faith. He said God spoke to him and God told him a car is coming. And the car came and we went. In your own life, what has God spoken to you? Are you hearing from God? Are you seeking his word? Or are you living your life just by what happens? A genuine faith is based on what God has spoken to you. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You and I must live our lives seeking to hear from God. You and I must seek to live our lives knowing what God has spoken to us. Because what God speaks cannot be changed, cannot be disannulled. It must happen. Because God does not lie. And you see, when God makes a promise, it's not like you and I. No, I can promise my children something, but the ability to do it may not be there. So I don't fulfill the promise, though I may have had good intentions. But whatever God says, there's nothing that can hinder him from fulfilling his word. Because he's not lacking in power. He's not lacking in ability. So whatever he says, it will happen. So you can find confidence, like we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith assures us of things we expect, like we were expecting that vehicle that day, and convinces us of things that we cannot see. We could not see it, but we were convinced. We packed our bags and we went and sat on the road and waited because we were convinced that God had spoken and that what he said would come to pass. So examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Why do we need to do this? Because we want the results of verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 1. For if you possess these qualities and continue to grow in them, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So are we examining ourselves? Are we all going to examine ourselves? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, for none of us has arrived. I pray for a deep desire in each one of us to please you. Lord, where we have sinned against you and blasphemed your name, Lord, we repent. Where we have caused your name, my Father, to be spoken ill of because of our lifestyle. Father, we ask for your mercy. Forgive us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, where we are keeping company with those who are blaspheming you, O God, mockers, my Father, those who are speaking ill of you and your people, Lord, forgive us. Help us, my Father, to see who we are relating with and how they might be pulling us back and causing us to compromise. Father, forgive us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every one of us for a deep desire for your word. Lord, I pray that your word, my Father, will become a light, a lamp to our feet and a light unto our pathway, that we would fall in love with your word. Lord, open our understanding as we read, that, Lord, it shall not just be words on a page, but there shall be life as we read. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us from the pages of your word, from our in our daily, everyday lives, O God. Lord, I pray for a deep desire to pray. Forgive us for prayerlessness, for giving you silent treatment, for not talking to you. Lord, help us. Give us joy in prayer. In the name of Jesus, may we find joy in your presence. May we find joy as we read your word, Lord, and may we please you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a faith-filled week. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.